Hallelujah. Good morning, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And thank you for this new day. And just thank you, Lord, for this beautiful word, Father God, relative to the good news of salvation that has come in Christ Jesus, Father God, to encourage each one, Father God, to come to Jesus, walk with Jesus, and then partake of the wonderful plan that you have for them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're reading Matthew 9 from verse 14 to 17. Then John's disciples came and asked him, "How is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast. No one sew a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved."
Hallelujah. Just looking at this here, the verse 14. So it was the disciples of John the Baptist, they asking the question, and they saying, well, the Pharisees also fast, but his disciples don't. So we just need to see, you know, this is the Pharisees, and who are the Pharisees? What do they believe? We can understand it like this. You've got the Sadducees. And you can say they are sad, you see. Why? Because they don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in angels. So they like, you can say, the fall has come, and they like chickens without a head. So they believing this and that, and being seduced by the kings of the world. Because remember, once a fall came in, that's when Satan also worked powerfully to bring about these kings, this deceived kings that would deceive the people and then seduce religions and all these things they would try use to their purpose. But then the Pharisees, you could say, is a step closer to Jesus, who is the king of the kingdom and the better life, because they believed in the resurrection, they believed in angels. And yeah, so you can see they a bit closer there. But then Jesus points out here to that we know he's the king of the kingdom and the king of the new life, where we come to Jesus, and then we find ourselves in him, because in him every name is written. We were predestined in Christ before the foundation of the earth. So he's speaking, the king is with them now. So why do they need to fast? Because the Pharisees and the disciples of John, they're all fasting to try to turn God's arm maybe in certain things. Or the right way of fast is to, what is your wisdom, Lord? What do you want from us? And that's good. But either way, they missing it. But Jesus is encouraging them. Here is the king. Here is the king in operating in his kingdom. He's come from commitment to the Lord and his purpose to come and set the captives free. He's come in the reality of kingdom realities of faith, and he is busy now with his disciples, and so his disciples are guests to the
wedding feast.
The wedding feast. And there we can see that in Matthew 22, Jesus talks about that. But they're not yet the bride. They have got to be born again. But Jesus is already instructing them on the new wine, on the things of faith, the things that are necessary. But then we see even that they got all the right encouragement and the right recipe. I love it in John 12, where the Greeks want to see Jesus, And then Jesus says, now it's time to be glorified, because this is what the Father wants, to see Jesus in each and every one of us, because we were predestined in him. And he's the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus wants to see it. And the true heart of every seeker that has moved out of maybe the sad you season of just being deceived by the spirit of this world and being tossed in any direction, to become Pharisees, that you darum see there is hope, but you'd still think the hope is still pie in the sky one day when Jesus comes again, not realizing the Son of God has come to give us understanding, to know him who is true, and we are in him who is true. And this is the God quality of life. This is eternal life. This is the kingdom of life that God wants to give. So here you see the disciples are with Jesus, but then he portrays there's going to be a time when he won't be with them, and then they would be in tears, and then they would be maybe fasting to what is your will, Lord? What is going on? We don't understand. And Jesus tells about that in John 16, where he says, a little while I won't be with you, but a little while I will be with you. And then he explains to them in that, and that was about the 3 days and the three nights. When he was crucified, the world rejoiced. He goes on to explain that in John. I'll send you that scripture. But will be in mourning. You will be calling out. You will be, perturbed. But then you will have joy, because it's like a woman that has birthed a child. And what is that child? The firstborn among many brethren. Jesus has gone up into heaven now. He's paid the price for our sins, taken away as far as the east is from the west. And he's gone up into heaven, and he's become the firstborn of the new creation that can start then beholding the new, getting the new wine. And then he comes back and he tells his disciples and that. It's just back to that. That's a little while you won't see me, but then you will see me. And then he says, and I will come again, and no one will take away your joy. And then he tells them they must go and wait for the power of the Holy Spirit, for the Spirit to pour upon them, because that is where the kingdom comes. The kingdom of God is not about eat or drink, or don't eat or don't, or mustn't drink. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy. That's what Jesus came to bring, by bringing a mankind back to their God, back to his leading, where he will shepherd us and lead us into the plan that God has got for us and for the kingdom, and the kingdom realities can come. So this is what happened, guys. These disciples were in despair and were in like mourning, but then Jesus came back. And back to John 12. And then they could follow the recipe as God wants it, where we experience him, and we are not like the Sadducees with tossed about by every wind of doctrine, and we are not like the Pharisees one day just pie in the sky, but we realize that it has happened. The seed has fallen into the ground, he has died, and to bear much fruit. And what's the much fruit? To bring the children, bring mankind, bring this world back to what it's supposed to be. That's why he's ruling and reigning now at the moment. And then he explains there, and therefore you need to lose your life. And so it's not just a affair you have with the Lord. It's about a marriage. You are married. Romans 7 verses 4 and 6 speaks about that. You're married to Christ. So it's a total commitment to Jesus. And then as you committed to Jesus now, you live by the newness of the Spirit. And that's what's happened to the disciples. And that's now these disciples are the 12 of the elders that is with Jesus in the kingdom. And so the reality is that we all get born again. That's the way you enter into the kingdom. That's what Jesus pointed out in John 3. John 3 verses 3 and then also verse 5. And how you get born again and you enter into the, and then you start seeing. So there you got the new creation. You become a new creation. So that old heart is taken out, that old spirit is dealt with, the spirit at work in sons of disobedience, and you become a new creation, and then you behold all these new, you're starting to get the new wine. So new wine is put into new wineskins. You need to be born again, see the reality of, that is here now already. You pass from death into life, into the kingdom, and now you start listening to Jesus. And we can see that in Hebrews 12 from 22, we have come to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the city of our God. And then later on, further down, you can see that's a kingdom. And in that kingdom now, Jesus is speaking, and we listen to him. And this is a kingdom that is shaking all other kingdoms, shaking the kingdom of this world and all the other little kingdoms within this world. Because at the end of the day, that's a kingdom that's standing. So Jesus is ruling and reigning to take away all darkness, and we can see this in the prophetic word nicely in Psalm 110, where the Lord says to our Lord Jesus, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And then we see, and then he says, and you will rule in the midst of the enemies, in the midst of the world where the enemies are the Antichrist spirit of this world, of the kings of this world, and the deceived people. And that's where Jesus is. He's now in the kingdom, and he's ruling. His scepter is his word, and he's speaking to his bride. You see, the guests of the bridegroom became the bride once he died and he came back, and they got born again and they entered the kingdom. And so we are also now the bride, and have to follow that same recipe, guys. Lose our life, forgive, leave the old life, hate the old life, love the life of the kingdom, the goodness of God you see ahead of you there, and then you've got to follow him daily. And then he says it so beautifully in this way, and when you do this and you follow him, he's your shepherd on a daily basis. Why do I say that? Because he says morning by morning he wakens your ear. So it needs to be a daily thing. And then in our Father prayer, where Jesus tells us exactly what we need, he says, today, give us our daily bread. So it's a daily thing. And then you follow him so that where he is, there you may be also. And then he says, and this is what the Father honors. So that's the recipe, guys. So we don't have to be these Pharisees that just see the realities and the beautiful things of God only for one day. We start waking up that it's not just the pie in the sky, it's a steak on the plate, and we start partaking of that, our kingdom inheritance and the kingdom plan that God has to fill this whole earth. So that's what it's all about, guys. Being the new getting the new wineskin is being born again, and then getting the new heart, and then the new wine is the leading of the spirit. Not you're no longer carnal, you're now spiritually being led by God. And I gave the recipe there, John 12. I'll send it to you now again. Be blessed, because you are blessed, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.